So I just want to acknowledge my fabulous collaborators before I begin, Dr. Adam Leventhal and Yue Liao from University of Southern California, and Dr. Stephen Intely, who's here in Boston at Northeastern. And my plan for today is to share with you the results of a study in which we examined effective or emotional response to physical activity contexts and how that can differ across social and physical contexts that people naturally encounter, and why this may be important for long-term physical activity maintenance. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So, affective or emotional response to physical activity is thought to be a key reward process underlying long-term maintenance of physical activity. And what I mean by affective response is an emotional or mood response to the act of being physically active. So how you feel while you're being physically active. That's how we're defining it here. And the idea that your emotional or affective response to physical activity is important is based on theories of behaviorism and operant conditioning, which come out of psychology, which suggests that behaviors that are positively reinforced through pleasant experiences or pleasant stimuli, such as feeling good or enjoying it during the behavior, are more likely to be performed in the future. And we've actually seen this play out in a small but growing body of research, which has examined an emotional or affective response to a structured bout of physical activity, and has found that one's level of positive affect during that structured bout of activity actually predicts how active they are overall in their life, and it also predicts future levels of physical activity. So you can take one bout of activity and look at an individual's emotional response, and that could be predictive of their future activity. And but this work that in this body of research has, where we are measuring affective response to physical activity, has primarily been performed in under controlled laboratory conditions, and you can see some of them here, and where individuals are asked to either perform a structured exercise task on a cycle ergometer or a treadmill at a prescribed intensity or set duration, and at the same time they're asked to give affect ratings. They're asked at various times throughout that bout how they feel. And so you can imagine these don't particularly resemble the real world in many ways, and I can, and probably not particularly pleasant for anyone. So what we're curious about is, does the context of the activity really matter in determining one's effective response or how they respond emotionally to the activity bout? And what we have to draw on the literature has primarily compared whether people have performed the exercise in a lab setting compared to outdoors, and have found that generally outdoor activity is more enjoyable and have more positive affective response. And then there's also been a few studies that have compared both an intervention and observational set studies comparing treadmill running to running over ground, more on a track, and found that the outside overground running is generally more pleasant and enjoyable. So that's what we really have to build on. However, we know that there's context, particularly physical context, and also social context, can vary in many more ways than just being outside or not outside. For example, context can vary in the greenness, shade, traffic, litter, safety, who you're with. And we really don't know a whole lot about how these factors play into one's affective response or emotional response to physical activity. So the goal of this current study was to look more closely at these fine-grained, naturally occurring social and physical contextual features and how affect can differ across those contexts. And why it matters is because ideally, if we can I inform the development of interventions that seek to maximize positive effective response to physical activity by encouraging people to be physically active in settings that promote positive affect in hopes that it will encourage long-term maintenance. So what we did to measure affective response and context in real time was used ecological momentary assessment, or EMA. And this is a real-time data capture strategy. Participants carry a portable electronic device, in the case of our study, a mobile phone, across the day, and it prompts them at random times and asks them to report on a number of things, including where they are, who they're with, how they perceive their context, what they're doing, and how they feel. So we can get mood, affect, stress, and enjoyment. So it's EMA, it's ecological, it's in real-world settings. Momentary, because we ask about what they're doing at that moment, and the assessment is repeated and longitudinal, so we can look at multiple measures and we can hopefully get a random sampling of an individual's life experiences across that day. And this, we conducted this this particular paper within Project Mobile, which is a longitudinal EMA study. It actually has three waves, and we're only looking at data from the first wave here. It's in low and middle income adults living in Southern California. Each of the waves of EMA were separated by 6 months. And this is what a typical EMA wave looked like. They were loaned a mobile phone. EMA is ecological momentary assessment. No problem. Yeah, so when I refer, I apologize, when I refer to EMA, I'll be talking about that assessment strategy. And they were loaned a mobile phone, and the monitoring occurred, each wave took place across 4 days, a Saturday through a Tuesday, so we captured 2 weekend days and 2 weekdays. And we used, in EMA, there's various sampling schedules that you can use. And we use something called the signal interval contingent hybrid sampling. And here's the sampling schedule right here at the bottom. So here's the 4 days. And what we did was we split the days up into set time intervals. Most of them were 2 hours, but we did have a short interval in the morning between 6:30 and 6:45 a.m. And they were prompted at a random time. So each X represents a random prompt within each one of those intervals. We prompt them randomly so they don't anticipate when the survey is coming, because otherwise you have anticipatory effects where we ask them, what are you doing right now? And they, if they know the survey was coming at 7:30, they'd say, well, I was sitting here waiting for a survey. And that's not ecologically valid. It doesn't really represent what they're doing. So it's random, and we asked them, the phone was small, we asked them to carry the phone with them at all times. We gave them a belt to put the phone on, and so we did ask them to carry this while they were being physically active as much as possible. So here are the screenshots of the items that we used for this particular paper. They are among a longer survey. The survey actually only took about 2 to 3 minutes. So these, what pops up is these questions that can toggle down and select, what are you doing? And we say right before the beep went off, because the survey, the phone beeps them, then they complete the survey. If we say, what are you doing right now? They say, I'm completing the survey. So that's not what we want to know. We want to right before that. And we ask the same for physical context. Oh, we ask social context. And this is just one of the questions. We ask also, where were you with spouse, friends, family, others, coworkers? Physical context, we ask, where were you just before the beep went off? And then we did do some branching sequences, so that if they did say outdoors, we would say, where were you outdoors? And we can get more specifically. When they were outdoors, we asked a whole series of perceived environmental characteristics. We asked about perceived greenness, and through pilot testing, we found that the best way to ask that was really about the number of trees and plants that were in the area. How safe they feel in that area they are right now, litter and garbage, and traffic. And then we also asked about positive affect. We had three items, happy, calm, cheerful, and these had fairly reliable, internally consistent, with a Cronbach's alpha of 0.84. We had one enjoyment question. So when we asked, what are you doing, we said, how enjoyable is this activity? So if they had said something else, if they had said, you know, eating or watching TV, they also received the enjoyment question, as well as if they had said they were being physically active or doing sports. So for the data analyses, we only included the survey responses where they said that physical activity was the main thing that they were doing right now, sports or physical activity. So just to keep that in mind, that's essentially our inclusion criteria at the observation level. So we only included when they were physically active. And then we compared mood across contexts of physical activity. We looked at concurrent associations, meaning they both were measured at the same time. So within the same survey, we said, what are you doing? If they said physically active, then we included it. If they said, where are you? And then how are you? We asked about positive mood and enjoyment. So it's all at the same time and concurrently measured. And because we use multi-level modeling in Sudan, because there's multiple repeated observations within each person, so there's clustering that we need to adjust our standard errors for. It violates an assumption of independence that is with normal linear regression. And our models were adjusted for age and gender, and then to better understand differences across the differences in mood across the context, we are going to report here predicted marginal means, which essentially adjust the means for the covariates in the model, which are age and gender. So what we found is, on average, participants answered 82% of the EMA prompts that they received across that wave. That did range, some as low as 25, and some did all of them. In general, with EMA research, you want to have over 75% of the prompts responded to get at least feel pretty comfortable that it's generalizable to their life. We did look at EMA non-response rates, so we found that they were no more likely to miss surveys based on time of day of week, age, gender, race, ethnicity, household income, weight, status. So just to make sure that we weren't systematically missing data, because we do have non-response. And so remember, in this study, we looked at EMA responses that reported physical activity or exercise as what their main activity at that moment. And this occurred in about 8%, 7.7% of the responses. Not a whole lot, but these are adults that we are looking at. And, you know, as we know, physical activity declines quite rapidly into adulthood. So this isn't an approximate of time, but it's a sampling of their life. So we think that it could approximately be equivalent to the amount of time they may spend on a given day being physically active. And 84 of our participants had at least one report of exercise or physical activity. This was out of 115. Some had only one across the 4 days, and some had up to 8 bouts of activity they reported over those 4 days. So here's this descriptive demographic statistics for this sample of 84, which is those who did at least one report of physical activity. Here's their age range. We had a wide range of adults in the study. Mean age is 40. Primarily female, about 34% Hispanic. About 25% had, in Southern California, this is considered to be on the low to middle end of the income range. I know that it varies quite a bit across other regions of the country. You can see marital status, and 68% either overweight or obese, which is about equal to what we see nationwide. So here are our results when we examine differences in mood response across social contexts. So this is when we said, what are you doing right now? And if they said physical activity, we only included those reports here. And then we compared the various social contexts. We looked at enjoyment and positive affect. And you can see here we did see significant differences across for both of those affective responses. We saw that they were reported more enjoyment when they were with their spouse only than most of the other different types of social contexts they could find themselves in. But what we did see, some of the standard errors are larger because there was fewer responses there, but certainly alone was amongst the lowest, so that in general, when they were alone, they were enjoying the activity the least. And we saw a similar type of pattern with positive affect, in this case with spouse and through an activity with coworkers and friends to have higher positive affect than with children only or alone, and then this other. When we looked at the differences in mood response to physical activity across physical contexts, we actually did not see as many differences as we had thought. There were some marginal differences in enjoyment, particularly with parks showing more enjoyment of physical activity when that activity took place at a park as compared to when activity was taking place at home or in home indoors, but that's marginal. And then we didn't really see any significant differences by positive affect across these broad types of physical contexts. But if you recall, we did ask, when they were outdoors, we did ask more specifically about perceptions of that physical context outdoors. And in this case, we did see some interesting things play out with the perceptions of greenness or trees. And this falls into a line of literature that suggests that the greenness, vegetation, can be particularly important, or maybe for promoting activity. But we did see that that certainly there was a positive relationship that certainly increased both positive affect and enjoyment as there were more trees and green at more higher levels of perceived greenness. The thing that's a little baffling is this: why none is a little bit higher and even higher here with enjoyment. One thing that we have hypothesized is that when people that are really in a place with no trees maybe went to that place specifically to be physically active, maybe it was a track or a beach or someplace, so that may be throwing us off a little bit. But when there were some trees, certainly the amount of trees that they perceived were certainly related to positive affect and enjoyment during physical activity. So I'm just going to keep my time here. So what we found then is that enjoyment of and positive mood during physical activity did appear to be greater when an adult was physically active in the company of their spouse versus being alone or with children, which is actually somewhat, you might think, I don't know, either surprising or disappointing. Nonetheless, that's what we found. And that certainly being physically active at parks versus indoors or settings that had greater vegetation or greenness did seem to be related to their effective response to physical activity during that. And what this does is this builds, moving back to how I introduced the study, builds on the literature that really has primarily looked at affective response to physical activity in a structured laboratory setting, and then moving even beyond the work that compares indoor and outdoor and trying to get more fine-grained what features outdoor. Oh, may I also make a note that there were no significant differences in affective response based on perceived traffic safety or litter in this particular study. But this does build upon this literature, and we are by examining this in a free living, naturalistic settings and in real time. There are some limitations, though. These data are just from one wave, and they're concurrent associations, so they're cross sectional. So we always have to be aware that individuals, we don't know the direction of the effect, so we don't really know if the environment exerted an influence on the a mood response, or that someone was in a positive mood and went to a certain environment. So certainly that needs to be teased out. Sample size was relatively small in this particular study, so we might not have the power to detect very small effect sizes. We did observe for 4 days. With EMA, it's difficult because of response burden to observe for more than too many days, but you want to get a good representation of weekdays and weekends. But certainly these days could have been not somewhat unusual for some participants. Hopefully they were fairly representative of their life. And then you can see for each psychological construct and environmental construct and social environmental construct, we really had a small number of EMA items. That's just based on the nature of the survey. We want to keep them short, 2 to 3 minutes each, because we're asking them to do it up to 8 times a day. So we end with mood, for example, we only have 3 positive affect items. So we have to be aware that we can be limited in terms of internal reliability. So overall, what we found with this study from these preliminary results, that we may be able to increase motivation to engage in physical activity over the long term by boosting enjoyment and positive affect during the behavior. And these results suggest that that to do that, we might try to encourage, we might think more specifically in our interventions about not just promoting activity, but where specifically we're asking people to be active, whether that's in parks and outdoor settings with greenness, and particularly being active with people, but not necessarily with children in this case. And I said I don't want to over-jump on that, but certainly being with a spouse, I know that can be difficult with some couples to find time to do that, but that was more enjoyable. So that's all. Thank you very much.